You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This is all coming out of the White House. The National School Board Association wrote this letter because they're tired of parents asking them about the teaching of critical race theory. The National School Board Association colluded with President Biden in the White House to craft the letter. As soon as they got the letter, they sent it to Merrick Garland and told Merrick Garland to sic the FBI on our parents and call them, if not explicitly, implicitly, dangerous domestic terrorists, and to try to chill, and it did have a chilling effect on parental involvement and parental activism with respect to what their kids are learning.
Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana. This is October 27th, 2021. Merrick Garland had his time before the House congressional members. Now he's in front of the Senate members going through the same questions about this memo he sent out, which he insists, Garland insists, I didn't mention terrorists in my memo. I didn't mention anything that, but the Justice Department announcement of the memo, incorporating the memo attached to it, suggest the FBI and other agents of the DOJ, including some groups that should be focusing on jihadists, are all assigned and now ready to work on parents who dare speak up at a school board meeting protesting the curriculum for their kids, or even asking a question for that matter, especially if it deals anything with CRT, critical race theory. I told you yesterday that some parents have been told, okay, we'll let you see what the curriculum is if you sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. If it's supposed to be such great education and information for the kids, why the hell wouldn't you want parents to know it? And then, of course, you have the other issue about mandating children wearing masks, vaccines that are still not fully tested. They now have approved some down to age 5, but I remind you again, they were developed at warp speed under President Trump's program. I think it was a good program. I think we did rush some drugs through. I think for the majority, they probably have had a great effect. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I'm also not one to say you have to have the vaccine because maybe you just don't want it. Or you have a religious reason. We're going to get into that in a lot more detail. And, of course, this issue with Merrick Garland. This guy was, remember, I'll remind you, this guy was going to be nominated, was nominated by Obama to be a Supreme Court justice. Boy, are we glad that he didn't get into that position. Such a mealy mouth that I don't. He doesn't seem to have any active brain cell, and he certainly has no battery energy. I mean, you're appearing before Congress. Don't you think you would appear a little bit more confident? And, well, I don't know. I didn't hear. That's why. You know, really? Also, more on the outrage of the NIH-funded experiments on puppies and other animals. And keep in mind, these are federal dollars being spent on these experiments, not to learn anything that might help humans. Some of it just barbaric experience and experiments. If you haven't heard the one about the puppy, it's pretty disgusting. But we're going to have to go over it again. And actually, for once, PETA, I agree with. PETA, protecting animals in this case, yeah, I agree. They've gotten off their radical approach. Federalist Senior Editor John Daniel Davidson pointing out that the border crisis we have could become permanent. It could be this way forever, unless, and he'll explain why, gas and oil prices, not just costly, but will be escalating world tensions. And a statue of a newly ordained priest is to be taken down. 18th century Catholic priest establishing the first missions in California, with a woke and cancel culture is blaming him for genocide. Wipe him out. He just was made a saint. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. To hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, a nonprofit organization called the White Coat Waste Project has just found that a lab in Tunisia, North Africa, infected dozens of beagles with disease-causing parasites. This research was funded by Tony Fauci's NIH, which sent a $375,000 grant to the lab. Now, according to this nonprofit, the money went to, quote, drugging beagles, locking their heads in mesh cages filled with hungry sandflies so that the insects could eat them alive.
Yeah, it sounds pretty disgusting, but that's the fact. That's a clip from Tucker Carlson last night as part of his program focused on how the NIH money was being spent, millions in taxpayer dollars, conducting numerous psychological torture experiments on primates, and then also exposing those young beagle puppies to parasites that would eat them alive. This in the video you don't even want to try to see, especially dog lovers, or for that matter, cat lovers, or for anybody that cares for the humanity of it. We all treat our pets often as members of our family anyway. Then sometimes they even think they're human, and we pretty much encourage that, don't we? But one of the experiments, according to The Hill, based upon information from the White Coat Waste Project, beagles were infected with disease-causing parasites to test an experimental drug on them. All of this, again, happening, as you heard Tucker say, in Tunisia, North Africa. But federal tax, U.S. federal tax dollars were given there. At least 40 or more beagle puppies bred just for the use of this experiment. They would put their heads inside a locked down cage where they could not withdraw, and it was enclosed, and then they would release inside the cage various insects carrying parasites. The insects would begin to bite on the puppies, injecting them, eating their heads, basically. Now, you would imagine a puppy would yelp and bark and cry out. They did, until someone said, you know, I don't want to hear that anymore. Let's just cut their vocal cords so we don't have to hear it. I got to tell you, if you're a scientist and you've done everything you can to achieve one of your highest levels of science and you want to learn more, and you know that sometimes things have to be done in the name of science that they're still ethical, but maybe you have some problems with them. But in this case, is this not where you say, no, I'm not taking part in this? And probably that's where some of the video got out. Somebody working on them said, done with this. We're not going to take part of it. It's out of control. Tucker Carlson had on a guest to discuss this, and the guest he brought in represents a group that I have mocked numerous times over many years, and many times more to come I probably will. But there are also times where maybe we should look for points of agreement. Back to Tucker Carlson from last night.
This is so offensive that it's hard even to talk about it on TV, but I want to leave open the possibility that maybe there's some reason that we had to torture dogs to death. Give us your view.
There's no reason for the disgrace that this experiment is. And unfortunately, it's just the tip of the iceberg of what's going on at NIH. NIH buys thousands of dogs. They subject them to experiments that only Freddy Krueger could think up. And all of this has to change. You know, the last time I was on here with you, I said that NIH Director Francis Collins needs to go. And fortunately, yes, since then, he's announced his resignation. Now the rest of the NIH directors need to go, too.
Well, who was that woman that spoke so eloquently and certainly condemned this federal dollar usage and saying Fauci needs to go? That is a name you may not know directly, but her organization I know you've heard of. That's the Kathy Guillermo, who is the PETA senior VP. PETA. Standing for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They're founded, based, I should say, in Virginia. They have an international reach, something like 9 million members. And a lot of pet lovers are also members of PETA. The general attitude of PETA is no animal should be sacrificed for man for anything. That would include eating beef. That would include skins for shoes or coats, things of this nature, be it cattle or snake. Yeah, I own several pairs of cowboy boots. They're either leather, snake, or something else like that. So I'm not probably a very good friend of PETA, but there are times we can find agreement. And I'm being very honest with you. I have mocked them numerous times. I mean, when they're running around throwing paint on women wearing mink coats. Now, yes, a mink died or maybe bred and then killed for those. How they got there, many people want to know. And if they know, then they don't want to do it. So they just, well, let's go with things like cotton or linen or faux fur. And I know some women who have had stuff thrown at them when they were not wearing a real animal coat. The faux furs are almost indistinguishable from the animal fur. So they were attacked and called animal killers and everything else. That when PETA starts going that far, then my mocking was always, yeah, I'm a member of PETA too. PETA is for the ethical treatment of animals. I say it's people for the that eat tasty animals. Yeah, I know. They don't like that either. But I think here is where we can all agree that this is inhumane. I mean, it's inhumane even if you're not a member of PETA and you see a dog chained up outside a house in the heat of the day. There's no water. The dog can't get any water. There's nothing near him, and there's no shade. There's nothing. Yeah, that bothers you too, doesn't it? You may still disagree with PETA on some of the other things. But this experiment, spending this money, Fauci's NIH division sent part of a $400,000 grant to a lab in Tunisia for this experiment. And as you heard her say, PETA had called for Francis Collins, the director of the National Institutes of Health, to be fired. Well, Francis Collins has resigned. But it also proves that in addition to him going, that Fauci should also be going. They're spending billions of dollars on studies. They include infecting, cutting up dogs, frightening monkeys, adding mice to cocaine, and none of it leads to cures or vaccines. While humans are dying from Alzheimer's, HIV, cancer, MS, ALS, others. So several lawmakers are now demanding we want more direct answers from the NIH and the NIAID that Director Fauci fake directly controls, that being the National Institutes of Allergies and Infectious Diseases. We have, over the years, sacrificed mice, rats, and for a lot of people, they could care less. Well, it's still an animal, but some make a distinction, understandably, and certainly when it comes to dogs. I mean, there are parts of the world where dogs are a delicacy. Most Americans, not into that. There are parts of the world where horses are a delicacy. Served as dinner. And many horses that are going to be put down in this area, sometimes they've been shipped to foreign countries for that purpose, till some of that came to a halt. And of course, you always heard that maybe a lot of glue in the past was made from horses. So yeah, we all have our particular animal that we're all in favor of. Many for when it comes to mice and snakes, they could care less. Well, they're all God's creatures when you get down to it. But if you're going to do anything at all, and most of us would prefer that it not involve harming puppies and horses or cats and animals like that because of we basically have a kinship with them. And many put mice, rats, and snakes on an entirely different area. Others don't. There are folks who, they won't go hunting, but they'll go fishing. Or maybe they fish and catch and release. But for some folks, that's still cruel treatment to the fish. But if you're going to use them for any experiments, don't you think it should at least be that it's going to lead to something would better mankind as a whole? If it's just being done to test and see how these things act? Let's go back to the remarks of the vice president, senior vice president for PETA, as she appeared on Tucker Carlson.
They spend about $19 billion of it every year on animal experiments, even though we know that these experiments are not going to find cures and treatments for human beings. And if you look at their other laboratories, right inside NIH's laboratory in Maryland, experimenter Elizabeth Murray, as we exposed last year, brain damages monkeys and then tries to frighten them in tiny cages with plastic snakes and spiders. This kind of experimentation goes on all the time. If you look at the Primate Center at University of Washington, they're full body irradiating monkeys, destroying their immune system completely. And we're all paying for this. There's no reason to do it. It needs to stop.
I'm not that familiar with the last two cases she talked about. Yes, they sound horrific. primates are often considered as close to man that maybe there's some value we can get. But, yeah, I might have a problem on some of that. But I'll give you another example of something that where me I'd have to walk away from. Let's say at one time I actually thought I'd go into medicine. But I'd also done a lot of stories, especially as a young reporter with the Galveston Burn Clinic. And when I saw these children, what they were going through and how they had to be treated and days and months on end, and the staff, same thing with preemie hospitals that I've covered, the staff doing what they can to help each. I mean, it takes a very special person to do those and handle those cases. It takes a very special person to do some of these experiments. If they think, if they truly believe there's going to be a value to come out of this that will help mankind. I'm not justifying all of it because I don't know all of it. But PETA, with this, could use some new credibility if they don't go back to their radicalization of throwing paint everywhere and saying you're not allowed to eat meat or things of that nature. If they don't get hijacked by their far, far left again, well, then maybe there'll be something that we will find in common. Coming up, the Democrats, of course, do have gun laws, a new gun law they want to put into effect. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio says, when you lay this out, you are not going to like it.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Leaves are pretty until they start falling into your gutters. You really want to climb up a ladder, clean them out? That sounds like a project, a dangerous project. I have a motto. I don't do projects. You need K-Guard leaf-free gutter system. Get a free estimate. Locally owned, KGuardMidwest.com. KGuardMidwest.com. Here's some good news. First Crypto World is now open in St. Charles, the first brick-and-mortar store where you can learn about cryptocurrencies and buy crypto merchandise. First Crypto World also has 3D printing services. In fact, I'm getting some promotional items printed. 3D. Get full details at FirstCryptoWorld.com. FirstCryptoWorld.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This bill requires a firearm owner to turn over the firearms or sell them within 48 hours. But there's no requirement in the bill for the government to return the firearms once the order expires or is no longer in effect. This means that individuals who seek the return of their property must take independent and expensive legal action to have the property returned by the federal government, the property that was taken in an unconstitutional fashion. More troublingly, this bill is predicated simply on the belief of third parties. Your neighbor doesn't like you. We now have a mechanism to get the government to take your Second Amendment rights away, to take your firearms away. This bill is about limiting American Second Amendment liberties. Make no mistake, this bill is all just a pretext for the Democrats to take guns away from law-abiding citizens. Think about this. Democrats defund the police, they label parents as terrorists, and now they're going to take away your firearms without due process. This is frightening. I hope we don't pass this legislation. I hope you vote no.
That is Congressman Jim Jordan today. And it took part in part of the discussions about Merrick Garland and his powers to sick federal agents, FBI and others, upon parents. And Jordan made a point of saying, look, if you're going to do something like that just for parents protesting, what do you think they're going to do with the gun control legislation they're trying to rush through? Yeah, that's one of those that got kind of pushed to the back burner with everything going on. I'm glad he brought a new attention to it again, renewed attention. Second Amendment rights. Remember when Hillary Clinton was running for president and was asked about her stance on Second Amendment? She said, well, I don't think it really means everything, that many think it does. It means exactly what the Constitution says, but she doesn't believe in reading the Constitution are obeying it, following it. So no sense having that argument. But that's on a national level. And a lot of it has to do with Biden. Biden campaigned on doing that, that he was going to get a strong plan forward. You still have Senators Cory Booker and Elizabeth Warren. They want to do even more. Now, in the past, no surprise to you, should be no surprise if I tell you that in the past, Biden has criticized the concept of licensing, saying it will not change whether or not people buy what weapons, what kinds of weapons they can buy, where they buy them, how they store them. But others are saying, oh, no, the more licensing we put on it, the greater way of reducing gun deaths. Riddle me this. And I really, when I started putting this segment together, I didn't not plan on including this, but just came to mind. The shooting that took place in New Mexico the other day at the filming of the Western Rust with Alec Baldwin, firing a, quote, prop gun that had live ammunition, fires and kills the cinematographer. He didn't know. Someone gave it to him, told him it's a cold gun, which means it has no ammo, no live ammo in it. Maybe fake or not, I don't know. And, of course, he's always been a gun opponent, but yet he's willing to hold one in a movie and act like he's shooting someone. In this case, actually kills someone. Because as a responsible gun owner, if he believed in guns and he would have known, you check it. If somebody hands me a weapon, say it's unloaded, say, well, I'm checking myself to make sure. Now, if there are projectiles in there that I can't tell if they're real or not, then that's another issue. There are going to be some criminal charges of some type, and certainly civil charges coming out of that case. Coming up, John Daniel Davidson, Fear on the Border.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota, for life.
Well, I started out with one lone dollar, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys, gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The numbers have been growing and increasing, and we knew they were. I mean, the moment the Biden administration started, even before then, caravans were forming. Another massive caravan is using social media to get more people to join coming to our border. Do you see anything that's going to stop things at this point? My guest is a senior editor for The Federalist, John Daniel Davidson, and just penned a piece that says, basically, left unchecked, Biden's border crisis will become the new normal. That's scary as hell to me, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. There is nothing really to stop the trend that we saw this year. We saw, obviously, record numbers of illegal immigration, but we also saw a break in the normal pattern of illegal immigration. Usually, the numbers increase in February when it starts warming up in South Texas, and it peaks in May, sort of at the height of spring. And then as it gets hotter, the numbers drop off. And we saw just the opposite happen this year. The numbers just kept going up all through the summer and into the fall. And we're still at near record levels. So, you know, don't expect when the October numbers come in, which will be the first month of the new fiscal year, don't expect him to drop off significantly. We may be in the midst of a new normal right now.
I mean, we're looking at I think, what, 185, 190,000 last month, September, I mean, that they encountered. That doesn't count the so-called getaways that we never saw and got through anyway.
That's right. And consider this, and this is something I mentioned in the piece. You know, 185,000, 190,000 arrests in September. If you go back and look at Border Patrol statistics, even in the previous record years, in the year 2000 and in some of those other high number years in the early 2000s, you don't see even 100,000 arrests in September of those years. Why? Because it's starting to drop, you know, it's dropping off. September is hot in South Texas. A lot of migrants don't travel when it's hot because it's dangerous. So we didn't just see, you know, record numbers overall this year. We saw, you know, more than double the previous number in September from record years, from the previous record year. So this is really, you know, when you look, take a close look at these numbers, you're seeing it's not just the numbers that are increasing. It's the pattern that's changing. And that's, I think, what we really have to grapple with when we think about the future of the border under President Biden.
And I want to go into that deeper, but before I do, there's a jaw-dropping statement that you have in one piece of your copy, several paragraphs down. Migration experts said they could not explain a midsummer surge. Where the hell are they living that they don't see why this big surge at this point? I mean, I would not want to be called a migration expert if I had to say I can't explain why.
Yeah, well, neither would I, because the explanation is staring us right in the face. Look, what a lot of these experts and a lot of commentators in the corporate press don't understand is that the number one most powerful driver of illegal immigration are family members and friends who get across the border, who get released by Customs and Border Protection and send selfies and emails and text messages to their friends and family back home saying, I got across, I got out, I'm on my way.
And the Biden administration is doing nothing to stop them. They're putting them on buses, then they're putting them on planes, and now they're transporting them, dropping them who knows where in the middle of the night. And Jen Psaki says, well, it's the middle of the night because it might be an inconvenient flight for you. It's not inconvenient for them. They're getting deeper into our interior.
Yeah, and understand the reason that migration usually dropped off in the summer is because it was dangerous, because you had to, you know, hike across the border. A lot of times people were trying to evade Border Patrol, and so they were facing dangerous conditions, days and days exposed out in the hot South Texas weather on ranch lands that they could get lost on. But that's not the dynamic now at all. They're going across the border and turning themselves in, knowing that they'll be released in a few days and be sent on their way. So there's no inducement for them to stop coming in the summer months, which is why we've seen this pattern break this year. And we just see the numbers keep going up as the year goes on. The more people who get in, the more people back home find out that you can get in, and the more come.
All right. Lori Reese from Heritage Center was on with me yesterday. We're discussing this as well. And the point that is also staring us in the face, we see these unaccompanied children suddenly appearing. You know, they just didn't suddenly get there. Somewhere behind them, coyotes have gotten them there, and now for money getting them to that point. And we are taking in unaccompanied children and then supposedly sending them to people that are real relatives, and they're not being trafficked as child slaves, sex slaves. But the point being, they know how to play the system.
Yeah, by now they certainly do, and it's a pretty well-organized effort, you know, to get people across the border and to make sure that they're coming across in a way that will ensure their release. Sending children across unaccompanied has been a well-known tactic for years for parents, whether they're parents back in Central America or wherever, or parents that are already in the United States that are sending for their children back home. In other words, they're here and they're paying smugglers to get their children across the border and get them released so they can reunite the family that's already here in the United States.
But usually, if they're not doing COVID tests and they're not doing basic health tests, I'm almost That would be, I'm like almost a 95%+ guarantee. There's no DNA test. We don't even know if they're related to the people we're sending them to. So we don't know what we're subjecting that child to after they actually come to our border. You point out, though, that this is going to, I'm sorry, you want to add to that point? Go ahead.
Well, in a lot of cases, the administration, the federal authorities lose track completely of these children. There was a story a couple months ago said that, you know, up to a third or more of follow-up phone calls from DHS to unaccompanied children who had been released to sponsors, you know, went unanswered. They don't have any idea where these children are, and they don't know, you know, who they're with, and they have no way of contacting them. So, yeah, they lose track immediately of a lot of these
and
kids.
And I worry for this. I mean, for the Democrats and all their concern about being locked in cages, as they were claiming, and the humanity of it, we're in basically facilitating child sex trafficking, in my mind. You point out that this is going to be the norm unless the states step forward.
That's right. A lot of states on the border can do a lot more than they're doing, but they'll have to push the boundaries a little bit. They may even have to provoke some constitutional questions. But if now's not the time to do that, when is? When is the time to do that? Texas Governor Greg Abbott has made a lot of noise about his efforts to secure the border, sending out Texas National Guardsmen to arrest border crossers and prosecute them for misdemeanor trespass. But a lot of it really amounts to border theater. It's not really helping to deter, and it's not at any scale that will make much of a difference right now. And my argument has been the states can and should, and in fact, state leaders have a duty to act to secure their borders when the federal government refuses to do so.
Well, of course, the Constitution does allow for those duties not given to the federal government fall upon the state. I know we have a federal immigration law, and of course, the Democrats are all big about following the Constitution and stand by the law. Like if there's a mandate from the president, you should stand by it and obey it. But when it comes to the constitutional law of basically setting up sanctuary states and allowing illegals to come in and allowing them to vote and allowing them to do this and that, they're not that concerned about the Constitution.
Yeah, I think that there is a constitutional case to be made that states that are facing an invasion or states whose borders are unsecured have a duty in the face of federal inaction to secure those borders themselves. And that would mean, on a practical level, that would mean Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordering state troopers, Texas National Guard, Texas State Guard to apprehend illegal immigrants and expel them, take them physically back across the Rio Grande and back to Mexico. It would involve a number of other things. It would involve cracking down on some of these cartel and smuggling networks, either by imposing sanctions regimes on assets that those groups hold in the United States, or by conducting cross-border raids to upset those operations that are facilitating mass illegal immigration and drug trafficking. The governors of these states have this power. They refuse to use it because they're afraid of provoking some sort of a constitutional showdown with the feds. But I say the time for that showdown is now.
I agree, and I applaud you for that. I want to thank you very much for your time today. As always, we appreciate your insight, sir.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
You bet. John Daniel Davidson, check him out, The Federalist. Basically saying that if we don't do this now, and he's right, if they're worried about constitutional challenge, well, so be it. Do it now. So if I told you oil and gas prices are going to cost and keep going up and everything else going to cost going up, you're going to say, you're an idiot, Larry. Everybody knows that. Well, I want you to hear from an expert. And there's another part of the story. There's another part of this escalation that you possibly haven't considered. Stand by. You want to make someone feel really special? Give them a gift card from Cafe Napoli, treating them to a memorable dinner at any of the Napoli locations. Business owners, I encourage you to give Napoli gift cards to clients, employees, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now on the streets of St. Charles, Cafe Napoli.
Born through a party in the the 90 drum began to swing. You should have heard it locked out, jailbird, sing, let it rock. Everybody, let it rock.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're going to end up with a real shortage of energy. And when you have a shortage, it's just going to cost more. And it's going to probably cost a lot more. And when that happens, you're going to get very unhappy people around the world, on the emerging markets in particular, but in the developed world.
Yeah, I think those statements will ring true. That is Blackstone CEO Stefan Schwarzman appearing at the Future Investment Initiative. Blackstone is one of the largest fund managers in the nation, and they get into so many different projects, I should say in the world. And they're watching all this go on. And so in this conference in Saudi Arabia, he said, when you have a shortage, and you know this is simple supply and demand. You don't have to be the CEO of Blackstone or anyone with any degree to know if there's a shortage, what is available is going to cost more. And he says it's probably going to cost even a lot more, and that's going to make a lot of people around the world unhappy, no kidding, and especially the emerging markets. See, when we hear the White House say, well, this is a high-class problem. You should be glad we have to deal with a shortage like this. What? I put that in the same context of their other stupid statement, and that is you had to learn to do with less, live with less, buy less. Why? Because the Biden administration has screwed this up so royally. And oil and gas prices jumping the way they have. Somebody sent me a tweet that had a meme on it showing a picture of Donald Trump. And under it, it said, give me more nasty tweets. And above it was a gas price of about $4.20. The average price for a gallon of gasoline in San Fran is likely to reach an all-time high this week, inching closer to $5 a gallon. That's in San Fran. I've heard there are parts of California that the gas price is already above $6, maybe even moving higher than that. That might be in areas where, first of all, you got to have trucks deliver the fuel, and maybe they don't have enough drivers to go every place, so they take care of the urban areas first, those out in the distance. We'll get to you when we can, if we can. But when they're recognizing right now that in San Francisco that they're at that rate, and they're claiming San Fran is now the first city in the U.S. to set a new record high for prices since 2012. This is just beginning. You think it's going to end overnight? Well, of course it's not. Prices right now are at least $1.20 more per gallon than they were a year ago. And again, back to the comments made by Blackstone CEO Schwarzman at this conference in Saudi Arabia.
You've got real unrest. This challenges the political system, and it's all utterly unnecessary. You have to have governments agree what the rules of the road are so society can successfully transition from where we are to where we need to be.
Yeah, but there is the fly, as I say, in the ointment. This government, this administration doesn't really know where it's going other than green. And that fossil fuels, we don't want to use them anymore. We're going to do everything we can to make it tougher. And in California the other day, where they still have, I don't know, probably close to 100 ships off the coast waiting to get in and get their cargo unloaded, They're trying to get more trucks to come in, but they have emissions controls in Florida, and if you don't meet them, you can't bring that truck in. So there are fewer trucks available, even if you have the drivers, and it's just all escalating. And you know where Biden is going? He's going to a conference, a climate conference. Greta Thunberg will be there, the teenager, and will do a dance or talk or who knows what. As they talk about controlling emissions, and that's just going to create more shortages. Biden's already shutting down various drilling operations and lands that are available. And yet at the same time, we're having to go to OPEC and beg them to help us out and beg the oil and gas industry to help. And the two major emission polluters of the world, India and China, will not even be at the damn meeting. He's going to. So as Schwarzenberg said, they all need to get a direction and go the same road so we know how to move forward. It is the blind leading the blind. Make no mistake about it. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to focus more on parents as terrorists.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.